And without further ado, I would like to invite the former Chief Justice, Daniel Wathen, the court master, to come to the table. We appreciate your indulgence.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Krueger and members of the committee. I think I can be brief this morning, but I'm certainly willing to and want to answer any of your questions that you have. I've done a little bit of digging in the last month or so, and I had a good opportunity. I accompanied a survey team from DLRS licensing on a three-day survey they did at the hospital, unannounced, and looked at complaints, many of which bear on the issues that I'm interested in. So that gave me a good two-day opportunity with some sort of knowledgeable people at my side to go through a lot of these. And so that's been very helpful. I gave you today two sheets. The first sheet is potential recommendations that I may make. I'm anticipating I'll file a report with the court sometime in early February. And under the consent decree, official recommendations, and these would be such, the department either has to accept them as binding or challenge them within 30 days in court. So it's sort of a directive process. So the reason I call them potential recommendations is because I haven't quite finished them, and part of it is that I always want to discuss with the hospital and with the plaintiff's counsel in the Attorney General's office my report before I make it final, just in order to give them an opportunity to correct me if I've gone down the wrong road. But I thought I would give it to you folks this morning just to give you an idea of what it is that I'm looking at and thinking about. If you look at the recommendations, many of them bear on management issues, specifics, details about doing this, doing that. They're all intimately related to staffing. So it's like when I was here before, I said, you know, there's a lot going on, but the staffing is the big issue. So I also gave you a second sheet, which is the staffing summary, which I prepared from documents that Ricker has left, but I prepared from documents that Ricker gave me. And you've heard this, but I think there's a need for a little bit of clarity. And I don't think anybody was trying to mislead you, but the numbers got tossed around, and what was the cause of it? There are 51 vacancies as of 119. 47 of those are direct care, which really means nurses, mental health workers, acuity specialists, people who work directly with that. And that's the real focus of concern. I mean, if we had 51 vacancies and 25 of them were in the administration, you'd have a different concern, but you wouldn't be concerned about patient safety and staff safety. And so this is the critical mass here is 47 direct care vacancies. I do not believe that those vacancies were created by the creation of 29 new positions, because most of those positions have been filled. And they were not, some of them were, but some of them were, most of them were not direct care positions, like a recruitment specialist. That's unfilled. That's in this, probably in four, but that's not a concern. So these are sort of hardcore vacancies in direct care staff. And if you look at it carefully, there are three vacancies for acuity specialists out of a total of 20 authorized. Not too bad. But there are 13 vacancies for mental health workers out of 124 authorized. That's 10%, okay? So they're 10% down in mental health workers. But if, at least by the figures, more significant is you've got 23 nursing vacancies out of a total of 87. I mean, that's a third of your nursing staff. So if you were talking about any hospital and you said, we're short by a third, even short by 10% in the mental health worker field, that's an item of concern. And yes, there has, since 12/12, there have been 25, I just count direct care positions. I think there were 29 hired. 25 of them were direct care that were hired, and they were scattered over nursing, mental health worker, and acuity specialist. But 9 of them were internal hires. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just pointing it out. That does not reduce the total deficiency. So you've gained 16 since 12/12. So that is the nub of the problem that is, if you focus only on staffing, and it's not something that lends itself to a direct order. I mean, I could enter an order, recommend that you fill all your staff positions within 30 days, and they would come back and say, well, we weren't able to, and I would say, well, I'll recommend the court find you in contempt. The court couldn't find them in contempt because they did their best. I mean, it isn't there. So the question is for all of us, including them, is how are we going to get a third of our nursing staff back? And I don't have the answer, but it seems to me that if indeed you folks think it is a crisis, and I believe it is, it really calls upon state government to react flexibly and quickly. And, you know, the hiring is done by DAFs, the structure, the collective bargaining. It's a complicated process, but it really requires you got to reach out. And you've got to be doing things like, particularly in the nursing area, I believe, you've got to be doing things like 3 12-hour shifts. And I don't know that there's a lot of resistance to that, but I imagine that, you know, the existing staff, so on and so forth, could have some concerns. But those of you who have been in management know that this would not be an easy task if you were in private industry, and you would have the ability to go out and say, and we're offering a little premium here. We're offering a bonus. If you really need something, that's usually the way you get it. That's a difficult task. So in one sense, it's a very simple problem, and in another sense, the fix is very difficult. There is, in my judgment, has been some, as I told you the last time I was here, I think generally, client safety and staff safety is probably improved, certainly over 2 years ago. Not where it should be, as you've heard, but it's been improved. They're working hard at it. There is a new nursing director, a fellow named Dr. Larry Plant. He has a doctorate in nursing. He's not an MD. And he seems to be very knowledgeable. He certainly has background training and experience. And I had a chance to sit in as the survey team was talking to him. So I think that we've got some of the right people there. We need some more. So that's where I'm at. I can talk about a whole bunch of other things, but I think they really are. Like, one of the things that I think has caused a lot of problems unnecessarily is this, as I told you the last time I was here, the using the acuity specialist as a substitute rather than as a supplement to the mental health worker. That crops up wherever you go. So I can, I'm going to recommend that they not be permitted to count, for purposes of establishing their staffing ratios, count acuity specialists as mental health workers, and so that they've got to have the 1-6 or 1-8 with pure mental health workers. But why are they doing that? they're doing it because they don't have the mental health workers. So it really all comes back to this same sort of thing. So that's a quick and dirty version of where they're at, or we're at, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you, Justice. I see a host of questions. Senator Diamond first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.